Okay, this is part two of an interview with Sherry Day. And today is January the 7th, 2022, and we're Smithersteel. And it's the oral history for the Balkley Valley Museum. Thanks for coming back, Sherry.
You're welcome, Sonia.
Okay. Now, we had some tea after we had our first interview, and came up with a few, you know, things about the hospital that would be nice to have recorded for oral history down the road. And so starting back, you know, everything that's prior to when you left in, what year was that, that you retired from the, fully retired from the hospital?
About 2017, maybe.
Oh, okay. So there would have been a lot of changes.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, one of the changes that there was a new cancer ward, I believe, that had, you know, evolved while you were there.
Yes. Cancer services were developed some years ago now because so many people were having to go to, it wasn't even Prince George that they were going to. I'm going to back up a little bit on that. When I first arrived, Jean McDonald, who is a nurse who retired not long after I started there, Jean was the pharmacist, among other duties. I think she looked after ordering supplies, all kinds of things. But even though it was a large hospital, there were more people sort of doing more things, but Jean did the pharmacy. And when she wasn't there, generally the director of nursing looked after the pharmacy supply to the wards. The medications came up in bottles, basically.
Okay.
And the nurses dispensed them as they were ordered. In time, and not that long, they actually developed a pharmacist, an actual qualified pharmacist, who then looked after dispensing the pharmacy, and she, I think, ended up doing a lot of the materials management as well, but she was mainly a pharmacist.
Okay.
And she had worked in retail, so she was quite, I think, adept at ordering supplies and so on.
Great.
So with that, we were getting more and more cancer patients that were getting their chemotherapy here in Smithers. And I believe it was the pharmacist who was then charged with actually mixing the chemos. And that was done, there was an exhaust hood, I believe, in the lab. And she would go in there and she would mix up this for the chemo patients. And they would come in to either emergency, and then sometimes there was one other nurse. When it originally started, one of the head nurses was actually administering the drugs.
Okay.
But compared to today, I mean, basically, there wasn't a lot of safety protocols or anything like that.
Right.
Compared to what happens today.
Yeah. They're still preparing the cocktail for the chemotherapy, et cetera, in Smithers, in the hospital?
Yes, they are. There is a pharmacy department on second floor now, and they have at least one pharmacist, if not more, and a number of technicians. And they do have a dedicated, closed-off area where they actually do mix up the medications. However, there is now cancer services at the far, what we would call the far end, the north end of second hall, second floor. And there are a couple of doctors who are basically doing cancer services, and several nurses that are dealing with that. The actual setup of the cancer services was done by a coordinator, Norma John, working very closely with Lynn Sherville. And Lynn is one of our Valley people that has done such tremendous work in the Valley. He has retired, and they have moved down to Powell River, I believe. Lynn and Norma got cancer services up and going, and so that is another service that the hospital has been able to give the people of the Valley. Further to that, in the past few years, there has been cancer There's cancer clinic actually set up in Prince George where there's oncologists, and people from the north can often go to Prince George rather than having to go down south.
Right.
So that's been a major,
That's
contribution to the healthcare in the valley.
Super duper. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And then, so that's the pharmacy duty and the cancer. And now the palliative care, has it always been there? Hospice, I think.
Well, hospice is a group outside of the hospital.
Okay.
Okay. The palliative care wards, and I'm just trying to think of, there were a couple of rooms. In fact, were they upstairs? I can't remember. They were, again, at the north end of the hospital, and I think they were actually on third floor. There were two single rooms that were set aside for palliative care patients.
Okay.
And following that, and that was, I've got to think about that. I know they were certainly up and running in the early 90s.
Okay.
Very early 90s.
Yeah.
And then they shut down the two single rooms, took one big four-bed ward that was across the hall and made it into a palliative care room. Because it was so much larger and it could accommodate family, and people donated microwaves. There was a little fridge. There was you'd have a big couch. It was a far more family friendly setup. And to the best of my knowledge, it is still going.
Yeah, that's. I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you mentioned the donation of the microwave and different things. And you know, my understanding is that the hospital auxiliary or the new to you store.
Yes.
They've been a big.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't specifically say they've donated to that, but the women's auxiliary to the hospital has been going on for many, many, many years. And most of the time, in fact, I think it was probably happening when I first came, but I wasn't as aware of it.
Okay.
But over the years, the and it's not just women, there are men in there volunteering more now. But basically, by taking donations and recycling them, charging for them, etc., they have donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to the hospital. Generally, sometimes it's been specified what, say, instruments or machines or something they want, but basically they give it to the hospital and the hospital has spent it acquiring things that otherwise they weren't going to be able to get immediately, or perhaps would have had to wait longer. I know a lot of equipment, large and small, has certainly gone into the operating, the surgical area, the operating rooms, absolutely.
Yeah, that's such a good break for the hospital.
Oh, absolutely.
So dedicated.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, with dedication now, the students, there's been student practitioners. Am I right on that? Have I? Like the hospital has a really good, or had,
The hospital, the directors and the hospital administrators, etc., have generally had a very, very positive attitude towards continuing education. I know in the past few years, the available funds have gone downhill drastically.
Oh yeah.
Funds for travel, you know, like education, travel, and so on. At one point, Myrtle McIntyre, a now retired nurse from the Valley, and myself were taking a hospital administration course, an administration course that is a Canadian hospital's accreditation course. And this is way, way back, but Myrtle and I were fully funded to fly to Vancouver and stay for a week and do the course. All the costs of the course were covered. And the second, so there was a beginning and an end to the course. And then we went to Calgary, or perhaps it was the other way around. And then we were actually had the funds and were flown to Calgary, put up. And so that was just to advance our education in order to help our jobs.
Yeah.
And nothing like that's done now that I'm aware of, or very, very little.
Yeah.
Nurses nowadays, if they want to go into specialties, have to take specialty courses. And, well, actually, I have to be, some of it, sometimes part of the costs are covered, but most often it is mostly done on their own time, on their own ticket.
Wow.
But that's because of funds, not because people don't want to, aren't wanting to help them along. And I think there are more bursaries and things now, but we used to get visiting lecturers, people that would come in and give a 2 or 3 day course, and pretty well everybody in the place that could go would go and get further continuing education.
Right.
And there's very little of that now.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so...
Oh, and I was involved a lot with... Okay, part of the nursing education process is when the students come out, they have to have practical experience. Did we talk about that the first time?
Not in depth at all.
Okay, well, no, they have to have hospital experience. And our hospital has always been very good about taking students.
Cool.
And students generally pair up with a mentor, and they practice their nursing with the guidance of their mentor. And for 4 years, from 1989 to about 1992, I was working with, as well as at the hospital, I was working with the College of New Caledonia with students from generally, basically from Burns, they were placed between Burns Lake and Prince Rupert. And for 3 months, it was their last practicum. They had six weeks in one area and 6 weeks in another area. And it was their final practices.
Okay.
And I was an instructor of preceptorship. So 2 or 3 times during their 6 week, I had to go actually out to the hospitals and visit the students and the preceptors to see how they were doing and so on. And sometimes there was troubleshooting. Sometimes, sometimes you didn't get a good, sometimes there wasn't a really good match between student and mentor, and we had to deal with that. But that was a really wonderful experience.
Yeah, that would be.
And I enjoyed that from having had my teaching experience in Saskatchewan.
Yeah. That was a value, too, to have you at the time. That was. And then also, you were involved with the union as well.
Yes, I was involved with the nurses' union. When I first came out here to B.C., that was in 1973, there had been a court ruling in Saskatchewan that basically said that the Registered Nurses Association was not able to bargain for nurses. And there had to be a separate bargaining unit set up totally away from the association. So there was a Saskatchewan Union of Nurses. And that had been just formed when I had come out here. And slowly, the other provinces were starting to pick up on that. They knew that if they didn't do it themselves, it would be legislated for them.
Okay.
So I had, around about 1976, I had gotten involved with the Registered Nurses Association Labor Relations Division, which was one that was bargaining for the nurses.
Okay.
And in that period of time, I was on the bargaining committee and very involved for a few years. And in that period of time, it was organized, and the BC Nurses Union came into being in 1981. And I was quite involved with the procedures at that point in time.
Yeah. So where was the BC Union, the center for it? Was it in Vancouver or for the union?
In Vancouver. And they divided the province into areas. Actually, there's far more areas now, but at that point in time, there was northeast, northwest, interior, Fraser Valley, the island, Vancouver. There were seven or eight. And now there are many more divisions because there are so many more nurses in specific areas.
Right.
But the union is very, very, very active. The union mandate is legislated to take care of the workers, the nurses, to look after them. The mandate of the Professional Association, which is the Registered Nurses Association of BC, is the protection of the patient.
Okay.
So, and hopefully, and for the most part, they can work together, but they have totally different mandates, which is something that sometimes people really don't understand.
Right.
That it's they're totally separate and they have a totally different aim.
Focus, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so is it the union still, and the protective for the patient, is it still very active now, do you know? Like
The Registered Nurses Association deals very much, well, it's the professional association. It deals with the registration of the nurses. It deals with credentialing, helping nurses to perform their practice. They do some educating, etc.
Okay.
But it's just strictly professional. And that is, if you had a problem, you were with a nurse or something like that, that you felt that she hadn't behaved properly, you would go to the Registered Nurses Association.
Okay.
With yeah. those kind of, so they, yeah. they handle the public.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. And then, so is there any of the other changes that we haven't talked, oh, ICU?
We eventually, an intensive care unit was developed, and it was upstairs on third floor. I think it was a four-bed unit, actually, and there were a certain number of things that we could look after. There was a period of time when we had internists, that is, doctors in internal medicine. And once, Smithers is small, and part of the problem was, in some ways, there wasn't enough work for them to okay. sort of keep totally busy. And it just happened that, and we didn't have the lab support services that they needed either.
And do you now have, is, you know, the lab?
No, actually, we have fewer and fewer lab services. Just about everything, you know, it's been so centralized that pretty much everything goes to Terrace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then some of it used to go to Vancouver as well?
Some of it still goes to Vancouver.
Oh, it still does?
Oh, yeah, it depends on what it is.
What they're looking for?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So with the Terrace is a regional hospital, so all that stuff goes to Terrace, and they do all that there. So that actually means that a lot of times lab results take much longer. We can't get instant stuff.
Okay.
Which isn't a positive thing.
No, it isn't.
No, it
so,
isn't.
So there is a difference in between, like, district hospital,
yeah.
Which is, and Hazleton would be a district hospital?
Yeah, and Burns Lake.
And Burns Lake, okay.
Yeah. And Prince Rupert, they call it regional, but I don't really know. Terrace is for this end, Terrace is the big main hospital, and as you know, they're building a new hospital there.
In?
Terrace.
Oh, yeah. No, I did not know that.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah,
I think they've actually started.
Good.
And Terrace, of course, was where there was a psychiatric unit as well.
Okay, now that's another area that... Did we ever have a psychiatric unit?
We didn't have a psychiatric unit, and I think we still have what we call a safe room, where if someone is destructive to themselves or others, they can be segregated for a period of time.
Okay.
It's monitored yeah. and so on, but throughout the north, there are a lot of everywhere problems with getting enough help for patients needing mental health
okay.
care.
Yeah,
yeah, and so, we're the same.
Yeah, yeah. So then, you know, with the hospital, and you know now, you know, with the lab, and with the scope of all the different areas that, you know, work together and everything. With the hospital, is there's a director for the hospital, and
there's an administrator.
Administrator.
And then there's a director of patient care.
Okay.
Who's a nurse.
Okay. Yeah, I'm wondering who, you know, can go to bat for the funds and stuff. I'm just curious.
Well, there's an administrator.
Yeah. So is there any nurses that, or doctors, that you know, that we should, you know, bring or mention, that, you know, may have contributed to, you know, I know there was, you know, like Dee Reed and a few of the old timers that.
Well, initially, we, on maternity, most of the nurses that were on maternity were midwives.
Oh, okay.
Most of them were, but no. And,
yeah.
You know, it's been several years since I've worked now, and I really don't know. I know that the maternity ward has been remodeled.
Okay.
So that when a woman in labor comes in, she goes into a room, the baby is delivered there, and she stays in that room until she leaves.
Okay.
So, and that's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
And I think they've got 4 beds, I don't know.
Okay.
But I don't believe there's as many maternity patients as there used to be either.
Interesting. Yeah. And then, so, you know, with the maternity patients, you know, I mean, they used to keep them in for quite a few days.
Oh, yeah.
And now?
Now they're lucky to stay in overnight.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything else you can think of, Sherry, that that we could mention about the hospital or its connection with the community? Or?
I think at this point.
We've covered it.
We've covered a fair bit.
Yeah. I really appreciate you coming back so that we could get a scope on that.
And this is, you know, this is my opinion, and I'm sure there's things that I've forgotten, and I hope I haven't made too many mistakes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
With information.
Yeah, I'm sure you haven't, and it's all in there with what do they call it, the human interest and the human.
Okay.
Yeah, so I appreciate it. And this is Sherry Day and Sonia Lester signing off on part 2 of Sherry Day's interview for the oral history of the Bulkley Valley Museum. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you.